It's the Old Man Yells at Music podcast, a show about big and little hits from the 70s, 80s and 90s in the US, UK and Canada. Also forgotten albums, pop music on TV, and more. I'm your announcer, Annie Stewart, and here's the old man himself, Roger Stroop.
Hello and welcome to episode 146 of the Old Man Yells at Music podcast. I'm Roger Stroop. Today we're looking at the Canuckus charts of November 14, 1987. Around this time, French cyclist Jacques Anquetil died of complications from stomach cancer at the age of 53. Anquetil was the first rider to win the Tour de France five times, a record he still shares with three other riders. If that doesn't sound quite right, remember, nobody won the race between 1999 and 2005. That's their story, and they're sticking to it. Let's see what was going on in the culture beyond two-wheeled endurance tests. In the cinemas, this month's new releases included both the year's highest-grossing film and the eventual Best Picture Oscar winner. The former was Three Men and a Baby, a comedy in which Ted Danson, Steve Guttenberg, and Tom Selleck try to take care of an infant while trying not to get killed by drug dealers. The latter was The Last Emperor, Italian director Bernardo Bertolucci's biopic of Pu Yi, China's final monarch. Other hits from this month included the Steve Martin, John Candy, buddy road comedy Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, The Running Man with Arnold Schwarzenegger as a wrongly accused fugitive in a dystopian society being hunted by costumed mercenaries as part of a TV game show, and Nuts, a drama in which public defender Richard Dreyfuss tries to prove that prostitute Barbara Streisand is competent to stand trial for manslaughter. Other movies out in November of 1987 included Cry Freedom, a docudrama starring Denzel Washington as South African anti-apartheid activist Stephen Biko, Charles Bronson's latest vigilante sequel, Death Wish 4, Hello Again, a comedy with Shelley Long as a housewife who dies and is brought back to life with magic and astrology and such, Hiding Out, with future Two and a Half Men star John Cryer as a murder witness who poses as a high school student to avoid hitmen, Less Than Zero, with Robert Downey Jr., Andrew McCarthy, Jamie Gertz, and James Spader as rich young Los Angelinos caught up in sex and drugs, Made in Heaven, which stars Timothy Hutton and Kelly McGillis as two souls who meet in heaven and then try to reunite on Earth, and features cameos from musicians Tom Petty, Rick Ocasek, and Neil Young, Date with an Angel, yet another movie with themes of death and the afterlife, this one starring All My Children star Michael E. Tad the Cad Knight and French actress Emmanuelle Bayard, the comedy sequel Teen Wolf 2 with Jason Bateman as the adolescent werewolf instead of Michael J. Fox, and the Prince concert film Sign of the Times. In television, the big story happened in Chicago on the 22nd, when two local stations had their signals temporarily hijacked by a mysterious pirate broadcast. At 9:14 p.m., during the sports segment of independent channel WGN's nightly news program, the screen suddenly went black, and then a person wearing a mask of fake computer-generated TV character and Coca-Cola pitchman Max Headroom was seen rocking back and forth in front of a corrugated metal panel while static and buzzing were heard. After 20 seconds, the regular signal was restored, and the sports anchor returned to his report. A little over 2 hours later, PBS affiliate WTTV was airing a 1977 episode of Doctor Who when their signal was overridden by the same hijacker. This time, the faux Max Headroom insulted local sports announcer Chuck Swirsky, held up a Pepsi, made some obscure references to old songs and TV shows, pretended to defecate, and was then spanked with a fly swatter by a masked woman in a French maid costume. Unlike the WGN invasion, WTTN was unable to regain control of their signal until it stopped after 90 seconds. The perpetrators of this hijacking have not been identified to this day. On the bestseller lists, fiction readers were picking up the new Danielle Steele Kaleidoscope, which is the story of a lawyer trying to reunite three estranged sisters. The new Tom Clancy, Patriot Games, in which Jack Ryan takes on Northern Irish terrorists. The new Stephen King, Misery, a tale of what happens when a best-selling author meets his number one fan. And the new Kurt Vonnegut, Bluebeard, a fictional memoir of an artist with a secret. Meanwhile, nonfiction fans were buying Veil, journalist Bob Woodward's look at the CIA under the direction of the late William Casey. Spycatcher, an autobiography of former MI5 officer Peter Wright, which was co-written with Paul Greengrass, who would go on to direct three of the Matt Damon Jason Bourne films. Former U.S. House of Representatives Speaker Thomas Tip O'Neill's memoir, Man of the House. And the Band Played On, San Francisco journalist Randy Schiltz's recounting of the early years of the AIDS epidemic. And in music, it was a big month for the woman born Sherilyn Sarkeesian, but otherwise known to the world as Cher. On the 10th, she released her self-titled 18th solo LP, her return to recording after a five-year period during which she launched a successful and award-winning acting career. The album contains songwriting and production contributions from Michael Bolton, Desmond Child, and Bon Jovi members John Bon Jovi and Richie Sambora. The album produced her first hit singles in nearly a decade, including the top five I Found Someone, and would go platinum, returning her to the pop spotlight. 3 days later, on the 13th, both Cher and her ex-husband, Sonny Bono, her ex-husband slash duet partner slash TV co-star Sonny Bono, they appeared on the NBC talk show Late Night with David Letterman, and for the first time in years, they sang their signature hit, I Got You, Babe. It would be their final performance together before Sonny's death in 1998. Now let's go to the charts.
Below the Top 40s.
Our trip below the Top 40s this week sees us finding an act that got their foot in the door thanks to content regulations, but who may have been blocked from achieving more by industry expectation and categorization. At number 79 in Canada, it's Julian by Ulsa Moda. Formed in Toronto in 1979, Ulsa Moda were led by singer Molly Johnson and guitarist Norman Ornstein. They were regulars on the Toronto scene for years before signing a record deal, and Julian was the first single from their self-titled debut album. Julian is new wavy pop rock. Let's awaken the lyrics. Yeah, yeah, I say light of day, he's an early riser. I try to catch him at play. He'll try to hide from you. He'll try to run away. My best friend, new friend, his name is Julian. We go to sleep early, early to rise, because I can talk to him. He's my new friend, best friend. His name is Julian. We walk in the sun, so now we run to go to sleep early to have some fun. Okay, not Shakespeare, but as far as the song goes, this is pretty solid. I think it's comparable to the hits that a group like One to One, who I haven't covered here, but I definitely will, were having in this time period. I remember hearing it at the time, and it seemed like it should have been easily a top 40 hit. But apparently there was an issue with radio and promotion around the fact that this didn't sound like a band fronted by a black woman. Yes, even here in Canada, we were on our shit about stuff like this. But who cares, as far as I'm concerned? Molly Johnson is an incredibly talented and versatile singer. And anything she does, from pop to rock to commercial jingles, is worth listening to, as far as I'm concerned. Julian peaked at number 53. Ulsa Moda had no further hits, and they broke up shortly afterward. 3 years later, Molly Johnson and Norman Orenstein were in a new group, the hard rock-edged Infidels. And they picked up a couple of hits before running into more music business shenanigans. Molly Johnson has become a prolific and acclaimed jazz singer, while Norman Orenstein has gotten into film and television scoring. Our first top 40 hit is Canada's number 35, Rain by Michael Breen. Born in Nicolet, Quebec in 1960, Michel Pépin moved to Montreal to pursue his music career. In the early 80s, he fronted the band Concert, who released one album before disbanding. Trying to break into the English-speaking market, he anglicized his name and began recording in English. Rain was the first single from his self-titled debut album. Rain is big 80s pop rock. Let's pour on the lyrics. Stay and fight. Don't drown your spirit. One man strong alone. Nothing else you try. No fine persuasion. Life's something. I couldn't make it out. Oppressed. You've done your best. You rule this night. And you want to stand this alone. Stand alone. Stand on your ground and hear the sound of you rain. All over you, rain. Oh, you rain. Oh, lost in the driving rain. Yeah, standing in the driving rain. This has the same feel of other artists that came out of Montreal around this time, such as The Box and Sass Jordan. Sass Jordan happened to write the lyrics on this one. It also reminds me somewhat of Simple Minds. I think it's slightly above average CanCon. Rain peaked at number 33. Michael Breen had no further hits, and he has since mainly worked as a studio musician for artists recording in the area, which over the years has included names like Sarah McLachlan and Emmylou Harris. Our first American chart entry is their number 35, Sugar Free by Wah Wah Nee. Formed in Australia in 1982, Wah Wah Nee's first three singles reached the top 10 down under. Sugar Free was the third, and it became the first American single from their self-titled debut album. Sugar Free is synth-laden funk rock with lyrics that may be about drugs and prostitution, but I'm not sure. Let's see how sweet they are. In the lamplight, check the scene. In the day, my life is a dream. Do you know who you're talking to? Again, I'm so glad, baby, that I'm not like you. Fire in your head, river in your bed. $200, see his face go red. Lost in a world where nothing is nothing. Burnt pretty bad. Can't get another hit-ta. That's how he says it. Oh, my love and me, oh, we're sugar-free. Oh, this ought to be burning up, breaking down. Oh, my love and me, oh, we're sugar-free. Oh, ever want to be burning up, breaking down. In the lamplight, break the seal. Dream of a place, make it real. Desire can take you anywhere, ha. But it only lets you down, and there ain't nobody there. The fact that this song charted here seems to be a product of American music execs feeling like the U.S. breakthrough of NXS signaled an appetite for danceable Australian new wave. This and Pseudo Echo's cover of Funky Town were the biggest beneficiaries of this. But then NXS released Kick, and that album provided enough radio fodder that lesser bands of that ilk were no longer necessary in the States. At least that's my theory. Sugar Free peaked at number 35. Wah Wah Nee had one more lower charting American single and released one more album before breaking up in 1989. Singer Paul Gray was a prolific producer and session musician until his death from cancer in 2018. Meanwhile, guitarist Steve Williams has started a touring band called Steve Williams Plays Wah Wah Nee. Number Now we go to Britain for their number 36 song, I Don't Need No Doctor by Wasp. Formed in Los Angeles in 1982, Wasp took their name from an acronym meaning White Anglo-Saxon Protestants. But this acronym was later rumored to have different meanings, most notoriously, We Are Sexual Perverts. The band was formed by singer Blackie Lawless and guitarist Randy Piper, who had previously been together in a band called Circus Circus. They gained notoriety in 1984 when the song Animal Fuck Like a Beast, pardon my language, was removed from their debut album after objections from Tipper Gore and the PMRC. They scored their first UK Top 40 hit with Scream Until You Like It, which they recorded for the film Ghoulies 2. They followed that up with this track from their Live in the Raw LP. I Don't Need No Doctor is a glam metal cover of a 1966 R&B tune made famous by Ray Charles. Let's examine the lyrics. I don't need no doctor because I know what's ailing me. I don't need no doctor because I know what's ailing me. Yes, I do. All I need is my baby. You don't know I'm in misery. I don't need no doctor. I don't need no doctor. I don't need no doctor. My prescription tells me that I don't need no doctor. My prescription tells me that all I need is my baby. You don't know I'm in misery. I don't need no doctor. Well, the doctor said I need rest. Ooh, ooh. He put me on the critical list. Ooh, ooh. Keeping me safe from harm. Ooh, ooh. All I need is her sweet charm. Ooh, ooh. He gave me a medical lotion. That wouldn't do. Oh, yeah. My motion. Oh, yeah. No doctor. No. It's kind of weird hearing this relatively tame sexual innuendo from the creators of Animal Fuck Like a Beast. But they're genuinely loud, and Blackie Lawless sounds like the primal sex demon of Tipper's nightmares. So it does work the way it was intended to. I Don't Need No Doctor peaked at number 31. Wasp would have 5 more UK Top 40 hits over the next 6 years. They continue to record and perform, although Blackie Lawless is the only remaining original member. Their most recent album is 2018's Re-Idolized, the soundtrack to the Crimson Idol. Our first top 30 hit is the UK number 30. Full Metal Jacket, I Wanna Be Your Drill Instructor by Abigail Mead and Nigel Golding. Born in Los Angeles in 1960, Vivian Kubrick is the daughter of film director Stanley Kubrick. She had played small acting roles in her father's films 2001 A Space Odyssey, Barry Lyndon, and The Shining. She got another role in his 1987 Vietnam War epic Full Metal Jacket, and in addition was tasked with writing the film's score, which she did under a pseudonym. In addition to that, she and fellow actor and musician Nigel Golding created this single. Full Metal Jacket, I Wanna Be Your Drill Instructor, combines dance beats, rock and funk guitar, and dialogue from the film. Particularly the call and response drill instruction of Gunnery Sergeant Hartman and his recruits. Hup, 2, 3, 4, let's get to the lyrics, double time. Left, right, left, right, left, right, left. I love working for Uncle Sam. Lets me know just who I am. 1, 2, 3, 4, United States Marine Corps. 1, 2, 3, 4, I love the Marine Corps. My Corps, your Corps, our Corps, Marine Corps. Good. Pick up the step a little bit. We're going a little bit too slow. Left, right, left, right, left, right, left. I don't want no teenage queen. I just want my M14. If I die in the combat zone, box me up and ship me home. Pin my medals upon my chest. Tell my mom I done my best. Bury my body to 6 foot down till you hear it hit the ground. When it hits the bottom, you'll hear me say, I want to be your drill instructor. I want to cut off all my hair. I want to be your drill instructor. I want to wear my smoky bear. The drill instructor was played by R. Lee Ermey, who'd been an actual Marine drill sergeant before becoming a consultant for military-based Hollywood productions. His performance in Full Metal Jacket would lead to him becoming a full-time actor with numerous roles in film and television, most notably as Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman's police captain in Seven, and the leader of the Toy Army Men in the Toy Story films. Full Metal Jacket, I Want to Be Your Drill Instructor, was down from a peak of number 2. Vivian Kubrick has not, to my knowledge, appeared in film nor released any other music since, and I know even less about Nigel Golding. Next up is the Canadian number 29, Together, the New Wedding Song, by Joey Grigorish. Born in Winnipeg in 1949, Joey Grigorish started his career in the mid-60s when he formed the popular local band, the Mongrels. He picked up a few solo hits in the early 70s before transitioning to a career in radio. In the mid-80s, he reworked one of his old songs into a tune he would later play at a friend's wedding, and he recorded the new song for the B-side of a charity single for Winnipeg's Children's Hospital. Local radio began playing the B-side, and the response resulted in the single being flipped and released nationally. Together, the new wedding song is a wedding song, with all the sentimentality and sap that entails. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to read the lyrics. On this day, we stand together and pledge our love to one another. Oh, my darling, I will love you from this moment. There will be no other. On this road that lies before us, live the love, the joy and sorrow. But we will always try to remember the pain today is the joy tomorrow. And now together, together, love will be much better. Yes, it will. Together, together, our love will share. And forever, forever, love will keep us together. And together, together, our lives will change. But until then, we will follow this road endlessly. We believe that we have found love from this moment until forever. You can just smell the stale cake and the drunken uncles, can't you? The only song of this type that I know that managed not to be cringeworthy is The Carpenters' We've Only Just Begun. And yes, there was an old The Wedding Song, a 1971 Top 40 hit, written and performed by Paul Stuckey, the Paul in Peter, Paul, and Mary, and he wrote it for Peter's wedding. But Peter's wedding was not to Mary. There doesn't seem to have been any romantic interactions between those three. Fleetwood Mac, they were not. But talking about that is still preferable to saying anything more about this song. Together, the new wedding song was down from a peak of number 6. Joey Grigorish had no further hits, and he has since hosted a local TV music program, formed a Guess Who cover band, and taken up classical tenor singing. He currently performs as a nostalgia act. Now let's have a look at the number 24 song in the USA, Casanova by LaVert. Formed in Cleveland in 1983, LaVert were a vocal trio featuring Sean and Gerald LaVert, two sons of Eddie LaVert from the OJs. Their 1986 major label debut had produced a number one R&B hit, but they didn't reach the pop charts until they put out this, the first single from their third LP, The Big Throwdown. Casanova is bouncy R&B pop about not being sure how to express one's love for the object of one's affection. Let's make a move on the lyrics. I ain't much on Casanova. Me and Romeo ain't never been friends. Can't you see how much I really love you? Gonna sing it to you time and time again. Oh, Casanova. Casanova. Every man deserves a good woman, and I want you to be my wife. Time is so much better spended, baby, with a woman just like you in my life. So let me love you. Fill you up inside. I want to hold you, baby. So let me squeeze you. Don't you know that I'll get down on my knees for you, baby? Every time I want to see you, I can't find the words to tell you so, But I love you, babe. And I just got to let you know how much I need you. Show you what you mean to me each day, baby. So let me hold you. Keep you safe and warm. I'll be your sweetheart, babe. Baby, baby, baby. And when I told you, girl, I'm an average guy, you seem to know just how I really feel, because I'm giving it all. I need you. I want you to stay right here with me. But baby, I never knew love till you came along. This was one of the first major successes of the R&B subgenre known as New Jack Swing. Janet Jackson's Control album got the ball rolling, and in subsequent years, artists like Bobby Brown, Keith Sweat, and Belle Biv DeVoe would ride it to superstardom. And producers like Teddy Riley and the teams of Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis and L.A. Reid and Babyface would help hone the sound. But this song was produced by none of these. Rather, it was created by Cincinnatian Reggie Calloway, who, with his brother Vincent, would later have their own New Jack Swing one-hit wonder with I Wanna Be Rich. Casanova was down from a peak of number 5. It hit number 9 in Britain and number 16 in Canada. Lavert had no more pop hits, but they did pick up 3 more R&B number 1s. They broke up in 1997. Gerald Lavert died in 2006, and Sean passed away 2 years later. Our first top 20 record is America's number 14, The One I Love by R.E.M. Formed in Athens, Georgia in 1980, R.E.M. put out their debut single independently in 1981. Then they were signed to a major. The first 4 LPs produced singles that scraped into the lower reaches of the Hot 100, but they built a strong following on American college radio. The One I Love was the first single from their 5th album, Document. The One I Love is jangly hard rock with one of singer Michael Stipe's most intelligible vocals to that point. These lyrics go out to no one in particular. This one goes out to the one I love. This one goes out to the one I've left behind. A simple prop to occupy my time. This one goes out to the one I love. Fire, she's coming down on her own now. This one goes out to the one I love. This one goes out to the one I left behind. Another prop has occupied my time. This one goes out to the one I love. These are also some of the most straightforward lyrics Stipe ever wrote, and they're cold. Lovers as easily replaceable utilities. Of course, people who weren't paying attention just thought this was some shaggy romantic rock. Probably the same people who danced to Every Breath You Take at their wedding. The One I Love peaked at number 9. It reached number 11 in Canada and number 16 in the UK. R.E.M. had 8 more US hits and released 10 more studio albums before breaking up in 2011. Michael Stipe has published books of photography, while guitarist Peter Buck and bassist Mike Mills are in the band The Baseball Project. Buck also plays in a band called Filthy Friends. And at number 11 in the UK, we have My Baby Just Cares For Me by Nina Simone. Born in Tryon, North Carolina in 1933, Eunice Wayman was a classical piano prodigy. But when her progress was stalled in that world, she began singing in an Atlantic City nightclub under a stage name. She scored her first hit in 1958 with a version of I Loves You, Porgy from Porgy and Bess. In the 60s, she became an acclaimed and popular jazz singer, but she was also controversial in the U.S. due to her civil rights activism. She achieved greater popularity in the U.K., scoring 3 top 5 hits there in 1968. In 1987, a song she originally recorded in 1958 was used in a British perfume commercial, leading it to be issued as a single. My Baby Just Cares For Me is a sultry, strutting cover of a song that originated in a 1930 movie musical called Whoopee. I just care for reading the lyrics. My baby don't care for shows. My baby don't care for clothes. My baby just cares for me. My baby don't care for cars and races. My baby don't care for high-toned places. Liz Taylor is not his style, and even Lana Turner's smile is something he can't see. My baby don't care who knows. My baby just cares for me. My baby don't care for shows, and he don't even care for clothes. He cares for me. My baby don't care for cars and races. Baby don't care for, he don't care for high-toned places. Liz Taylor is not his style, and even Liberace's smile is something he can't see. I wonder what's wrong with baby. My baby just cares for, my baby just cares for, my baby just cares for me. Obviously, the lyrics were updated for the time they were recorded, because in 1930, Lana Turner was a tween and Elizabeth Taylor hadn't even been born yet. Anyway, this is sultry, sophisticated jazz pop delivered by an all-time great voice. You just can't deny it. My Baby Just Cares For Me peaked at number 5. Shortly after this, Nina Simone moved to Europe and spent most of her time living and performing there before dying at her home in France in 2003. Now we're up to the number 15 song in Canada, I've Had the Time of My Life by Bill Medley and Jennifer Warnes. Born in Santa Ana, California in 1940, Bill Medley found fame alongside Bobby Hatfield as the Righteous Brothers, who had 6 top tens and 2 number ones during the 60s and 70s. Meanwhile, Jennifer Warnes was born in Seattle in 1947, and she began her musical career performing in the L.A. production of Hair, then singing backup for Leonard Cohen, before picking up 2 top 20 hits in the late 70s. In 1982, she duetted with Joe Cocker on Up Where We Belong for the movie An Officer and a Gentleman. That song went to number 1 and won both an Oscar and a Grammy. 5 years later, Medley and Warnes were tapped to team up on this song, written for the soundtrack of the film Dirty Dancing. I've Had the Time of My Life is 80s adult contemporary pop written for a movie set in 1963. Let's enjoy the lyrics. I've been waiting for so long. Now I've finally found someone to stand by me. We saw the writing on the wall as we felt this magical fantasy. Now with passion in our eyes, there's no way we could disguise it secretly. So we take each other's hand because we seem to understand the urgency. Just remember, you're the one thing I can't get enough of. So I'll tell you something. This could be love, because I've had the time of my life. No, I never felt this way before. Yes, I swear it's the truth, and I owe it all to you. Hey, baby, with my body and soul, I want you more than you'll ever know, so we'll just let it go. Don't be afraid to lose control, no. Yes, I know what's on your mind when you say, stay with me tonight. Everything about the production and arrangement of this track screams 80s, so it required quite a bit of suspension of belief for moviegoers to believe that this existed in 1963 as a song that could accompany the climactic dance number. But apparently people were willing to make the leap, given the success of both the film and the song. Myself, I think more effort should have been made to make the new songs on the soundtrack sound period appropriate. But that's just me. I've Had the Time of My Life topped both the Canadian and U.S. charts and hit number 6 in the U.K. Bill Medley had no further hits and would mostly be a nostalgia act afterward, including a stint in the Ned Flanders version of Vegas, Branson, Missouri. The original and a re-recorded version of the 1965 Righteous Brothers hit Unchained Melody would be hits in 1990 thanks to the movie Ghost, but Bobby Hatfield was the sole vocalist on both of those versions. Jennifer Warnes didn't have any further hits either, and she continues to record and perform, with her most recent album being 2018's Another Time, Another Place. Medley and Warnes would reunite in 1998 to sing the song Show Me the Light for a flop animated movie version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Top Tens.
Our first top 10 hit of the week is the number 3 song in Canada, Here I Go Again by Whitesnake. Formed in London in 1978, Whitesnake were fronted by former Deep Purple singer David Coverdale. The group had picked up 6 hits in the UK before making their North American breakthrough with this, the second single from their self-titled 7th LP. Here I Go Again is a slicked-up re-recording of a song the band had previously taken to number 34, in 1982. An interesting choice, given the title. Anyway, I am reading the lyrics on this podcast for the first time. I don't know where I'm going, but I sure know where I've been, hanging on the promises in songs of yesterday. And I've made up my mind, I ain't wasting no more time. Here I go again. Here I go again. Though I keep searching for an answer, I never seem to find what I'm looking for. Oh Lord, I pray you give me strength to carry on. Because I know what it means to walk along the lonely street of dreams. Here I go again on my own, going down the only road I've ever known. Like a drifter, I was born to walk alone. And I've made up my mind, I ain't wasting no more time. I'm just another heart in need of rescue, waiting on love's sweet cherry. And I'm going to hold on for the rest of my days, because I know what it means to walk along the lonely street of dreams. This is hair metal at its anthemic best. Coverdale knows when to be pensive and when to unleash the drama, peaking with that undeniable chorus. And it was put over the top by that video featuring the late great actress and model Tawny Kitaen writhing around on 2 expensive sports cars. Peak 80s rock and roll sexploitation. Here I Go Again hit number 1 in Canada and the US and got to number 9 in Britain. Whitesnake had 3 more hits before going on hiatus in 1990. They had a couple brief reunions later in the decade, in between which David Coverdale did an album with Led Zeppelin guitarist Jimmy Page and put out a solo record. A new version of Whitesnake, featuring Coverdale as the only original member, started up in 2003, and their most recent album is 2019's Flesh and Blood. Now we're up to the American number 6, Breakout by Swing Out Sister. Formed in Manchester, England in 1985, Swing Out Sister were led by singer Corinne Drury and keyboardist Andy Connell. Breakout was the first single from their debut album, It's Better to Travel. Breakout is an R&B pop track that is simultaneously laid back and hard-hitting. Release the lyrics. When explanations make no sense, when every answer's wrong, you're fighting with lost confidence, all expectations gone. The time has come to make or break. Move on, don't hesitate, break out. Don't stop to ask, and now you've found a break to make it last. You've got to find a way, say what you want to say, break out. When situations never change, tomorrow looks unsure. Don't leave your destiny to chance. What are you waiting for? The time has come to make your break, break out. Some people stop at nothing if you're searching for something. Lay down the law. Shout out for more. Break out and shout day in, day out, and break out. This song is pitched somewhere between the supper club and the disco. You could luxuriate in the sweet horns and Corinne Drury's buttery vocals, but the groove grabs your hips and almost picks you up and carries you to the nearest dance floor-like surface. I don't think I've ever realized just how great this song is until I went back to it now. It's a Hall of Fame worthy pop song. Breakout peaked at number 6. It hit number 4 in the UK and number 18 in Canada. Swing Out Sister had just one more hit in America, but they had a handful more in Britain, including the 1992 Canadian top 5, Am I the Same Girl? They remain active, with their most recent album being 2017's Almost Persuaded. We stop in Britain one more time for number 8, Barcelona by Freddie Mercury and Montserrat Caballé. I think that's how you pronounce it. I talked about Freddie Mercury way, way back in episode 143, when I covered his 1984 solo hit, Love Kills. Now I jump ahead 3 years to talk about his collaboration with a woman born Maria de Montserrat Bibiana Concepcion Caballé y Forch. in Spain in 1933. After training at the famous Liceu, and again, I'm not good on this pronunciation, Liceu Conservatory in Barcelona, Montserrat Caballé had performed in dozens of productions in many of the most famous opera houses in Europe and the United States. By the time she invited Mercury, who was known to admire her, to help her create a song that could be considered as the theme to the opening ceremony of the 1992 Summer Olympics. Barcelona is a grandiose operatic example of what is known as classical crossover. Basically, it sounds like a Queen track without the rock instruments. Let the lyrics begin, and pardon my bad Spanish. I have this perfect dream. Un sueño me envolvi. This dream was me and you. Tal vez esta aquí, I think. I want all the world to see. Un instinto me guiaba. A miracle sensation. My guide and inspiration. Now my dream is slowly coming true. The wind is a gentle breeze. El me hable de ti. The bells are ringing out. El canto vuela. They're calling us together, guiding us forever. Wish my dream would never go away. Barcelona. It was the first time that we met. Barcelona. How can I forget? The moment that you stepped in the room, you took my breath away. Barcelona. La musica vibre. Barcelona. Yella nos unie, maybe. And if God is willing, we will meet again someday. Let the songs begin. Diallo Maser. Let the music play. Ah, make the voices sing. Nace un gran amore. Start the celebration, then a mi. And cry, grita! Come alive, viva! And shake the foundations from the skies, shaking all our lives. Barcelona. Such a beautiful horizon, like a jewel in the sun. Por ti ser gaviota de tu bella mar. Barcelona, abre tus puertas al mundo. If God is willing, if God is willing, if God is willing. Friends to the end. Viva Barcelona. Apparently, Caballé's performance focused more on the tone of the singing than enunciating the lyrics. Not that I could tell, given that most of what she sings is in Spanish. But the one thing I, with my untrained ear, unlike another person in this household, one thing that my untrained ear can tell is that she doesn't seem to be working as hard as Freddie, and it's not out of laziness. Between her talent and her training, she's able to sound effortless, whereas Mercury needs to summon all he's got to mash her. This, I think, is a clear demonstration of the difference between classical and pop singing. But overall, I think it works as a big, beautiful celebration for a big, beautiful occasion. Barcelona peaked at number 8. Both Mercury and Caballé were so pleased with this song that they recorded an entire album together, titled, of course, Barcelona. The song was indeed chosen to be a theme to the 1992 Olympics, although the recording was played just before the opening ceremony due to Mercury's death several months earlier, unlike the plan to have both of them singing live. By the way, that opening ceremony was the one with the guy lighting the cauldron by shooting a flaming arrow. And to me, that's still the best Olympic flame lighting ever. Muhammad Ali was great. There's been other great ones, but I don't know. For me, nothing tops the flaming arrow. Anyway, the Olympics sparked renewed interest in this track, leading it to return to the charts and peak at number 2. Montserrat Caballé would record an album in 1997 called Friends for Life, featuring other pop and rock singers, including Canada's Gino Vannelli and Iron Maiden singer Bruce Dickinson. She continued to perform around the world well into her 70s, and she died in 2018 at the age of 85. We'll go through our top 10s and look at a number 1 right after this. Hi, Roger Stroop here. As I'm sure you know, Old Man Yells at Music has a Patreon. I have for a while, but now I've streamlined it.
two tiers, and guaranteed bonus content at both levels. It's simple. And when you join, you will get a mention on the show, and it'll give you a song from my charts. You can tell your friends you have a hit. Just go on patreon.com/oldmanyellsatmusic, pick a tier, and sign up. You'll warm this old man's heart. Thank you. It's time for the top 10 countdowns. We begin in Canada. Number 10, Lost in Emotion by Lisa Lisa and Cult Jam, the second top 10 here for the New York group. Number 9, Try by Blue Rodeo, their debut hit. Number 8, Only in My Dreams by Debbie Gibson, the first hit for the New York teen star. Number 7, Paper and Fire by John Mellencamp, his first hit on which he didn't use the name Cougar. Number 6, Heaven is a Place on Earth by Belinda Carlisle. The ex-Go-Go's biggest hit would have won a triple crown if Canada had held it to number 3. Number 5, Bad by Michael Jackson, the title track to his follow-up to Thriller. Number 4, I Think We're Alone Now by Tiffany, the debut hit for a California teen. Number 3, Here I Go Again by Whitesnake. Number 2, Causing a Commotion by Madonna, the second single from the soundtrack of her movie Who's That Girl. And the number 1 song in Canada this week was Moni Moni by Billy Idol, his cover of the Tommy James and the Shondells classic. Now we'll take a peek at the British top 10. Number 10, I've Had the Time of My Life by Bill Medley and Jennifer Warnes. Number 9, Little Lies by Fleetwood Mac, the fourth top 10 here for the Buckingham Nicks version of the band. Number 8, Barcelona by Freddie Mercury and Montserrat Caballé. Number 7, Love in the First Degree by Bananarama, their eighth top 10. Number 6, Never Can Say Goodbye by the Communards, a Jackson 5 / Gloria Gaynor cover by the group Jimmy Somerville formed after leaving Bronski Beat. Number 5, Faith by George Michael, surprisingly only a number 2 here, denying it a triple crown. Number 4, Whenever You Need Somebody by Rick Astley, his second top 5. Number 3, You Win Again by the Bee Gees, their post-disco comeback hit. Number 2, Got My Mind Set on You by George Harrison. Once again, the Brits deny one of their own a triple crown, as this one stopped here. And the number 1 song in the UK this week was China in Your Hand by T'Pau, the Shrewsbury Band's Ode to Frankenstein. And here we go with the American top 10. Number 10, Should Have Known Better by Richard Marx, his second top 10. Number 9, It's a Sin by the Pet Shop Boys, their third top 10 here. Number 8, Causing a Commotion by Madonna. Number 7, Brilliant Disguise by Bruce Springsteen, his 10th top 10. Number 6, Breakout by Swing Out Sisters. Number 5, Heaven is a Place on Earth by Belinda Carlisle. Number 4, Little Lies by Fleetwood Mac. Number 3, I've Had the Time of My Life by Bill Medley and Jennifer Warnes. Number 2, Moni Moni by Billy Idol. And the number 1 song in the USA this week, and the one in our spotlight, was I Think We're Alone Now by Tiffany.
Spotlight number 1.
Born in Norwalk, California in 1971, Tiffany Darwish started singing professionally at age 10, and she made her national TV debut in 1985 on Star Search. She released her debut LP in the summer of 1987, but after her debut single, Danny, failed to chart, she was sent on a tour of American shopping malls to build a teen girl following for this, her second single. I Think We're Alone Now is a dance pop cover of a 1967 hit by Tommy James and the Shondells. Yes, the same band responsible for the original of Billy Idol's then-current hit Moni Moni. I believe I'm by myself, so I'll read the lyrics. Children, behave. That's what they say when we're together. And watch how you play. They don't understand, and so we're running just as fast as we can, holding on to one another's hand, trying to get away into the night. And then you put your arms around me, and we tumble to the ground, and then you say, I think we're alone now. There doesn't seem to be anyone around. I think we're alone now. The beating of our hearts is the only sound. Look at the way we gotta hide what we're doing. Because what would they say if they ever knew? And so we're running just as fast as we can, holding on to one another's hand, trying to get away into the night, and then you put your arms around me, and we tumble to the ground, and then you say, I think we're alone now. With Tipper Gore and the PMRC still breathing, presumably breathing down the neck of the music industry, looking for moral turpitude, it might not have been the best idea in theory to push a 16-year-old girl singing about sneaking off to have sex. But presumably, nostalgia clouded the judgment of the moral watchdogs, causing them to be conveniently ignorant of why the characters in the song were so excited to be alone. And certainly nothing about the song's bubblegum backing track, nor Tiffany's squeaky clean-sounding performance, evoked the sultry sensuality of the Madonnas and Samantha Foxes of the time. When this came out, I certainly saw this as candy-coated trash for girls in junior high. But now, I like it quite a lot. Maybe even better than the original. Tiffany's performance sounds naive on the surface, but just below, there's a winking quality that indicates she knows exactly what she's singing about, and she's genuinely giddy about it. Overall, Debbie Gibson still deserves the reputation as the more talented half of the late 80s mall pop boomlet. But this song proves that Tiff was more than just the product of a savvy marketing ploy. This was the second of 2 weeks at number one for I Think We're Alone Now. It also topped the Canadian and British charts, completing the triple crown. Tiffany's next single, Could Have Been, also topped the American charts, and she would have two more top 10 hits over the next year. But she had faded into obscurity by the time the 90s began. Since then, she's been mainly a nostalgia act, as well as appearing on celebrity TV competitions, starring in B-movies, and posing nude for Playboy in 2002. Her 11th album, Shadows, came out in 2022. So how to sum up the pop music of November 1987? Slick. Everything from hard rock to soul to bubblegum to adult contemporary was adorned with all the bells and whistles late 80s technology could provide. New stars and established vets were all firmly in the mix, and for some reason, even though they hadn't done anything new in nearly two decades, the music of Tommy James and the Shondells was arguably as hot as it had ever been. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Old Man Yells at Music podcast. As always, if you like what you've heard, share, subscribe, and leave a review where you found it. You can also leave feedback on the Facebook feed at Mr. B. Glovehead or the blog post for this episode, which is at bobbyglovescasey.blogspot.com, or you can check out the Instagram and Threads accounts at Old Man Yells at Music. And if you didn't get all that, all the links are on my Old Man Yells at Music link tree. As always, there's a companion YouTube playlist for this episode, which I link to in the show notes. Also in the show notes is a link to my Patreon, where you can support the show and get all the bonus microdose episodes, including the latest about the dangers of heavy metal, and make my charts, just like Mike Birmingham. All the recorded are for the purposes of discussion and review. No infringement is intended. Next time in the show, the great scramble to get caught up continues with a look at the charts of November 1990. Find out what the hits were when the Cold War was declared officially over. Yeah, that's right. Russia would never be a problem on the international stage again. Never. Till then, I'm Roger Stroop, reminding you that those aren't pillows! Stay safe.